Was he coming?
Oh, Ted, go ahead and start.
We'll have to switch Ted to the later.
Okay. Meeting called to order for airport committee. All in favor of approving minutes from last meeting?
There's no minutes to approve, actually.
And we want to
start with Lance, maybe.
Pardon?
Let's skip down to number three and start with Lance, because Ted's running late.
Sounds good.
Continue your story.
Continue on. Well, just some updates from last meeting. We were talking about looking into doing an air show and possibly even international hub or whatever. We looked into doing the international thing, and that might be a great idea for a little further down the road, but you actually have to pay $140,000 per inspector to be on the field, is what we had found. And then if you want to be a port of entry, you have to have a population of 300,000 in an area. So we did contact Neil.
U.S. Customs.
And he did give us kind of this direction to go and where to find all this stuff at. But if we wanted him up there, we would have to paint off a section, put a trailer up for him, and pay $140,000 a year at this point. And I don't think that's going to attract enough international people coming in.
It's more than a sign.
So we'll shelf that.
Airport anyway.
We'll
looking for new space. I remember a year ago because they had a GSA lease for new space, and I was looking for a federal seat too somewhere. But it's just one or two people in that spot.
So, and then the other thing that I looked into was the air show, and there are several different types. I put this book together. Depending on what direction we want to go, the best thing that we can do is probably contact. We have somebody, Robert Kirkwood, in the Northwest region that would help do that. But a lot of the air show, if the city puts it on, would be quite expensive. It'd be kind of like, you know, you'd have to lease out the space for vendors to come in. You'd have to find vendors. So just getting it organized, getting it up, would be a lot of work. So the only thing that I can think of is tying it in with another event that the city already has, like the 4th of July, have an air show over that 4th of July time. Maybe
tie
it
under the bridge
together.
Yeah.
Well, if you actually have, you know, there's a difference between an air show and an air whatever else, like air festival,
an event.
Fly.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have the liability and all that stuff if you have the other.
A fly-in, you mean.
But one, right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Atlantic City did that was this huge now on the East Coast is they started having their air show on the beach. It didn't have anything to do with the airport. I mean, it does because they stage out of the airport, but they fly up and down the beach.
So the box is up over the water.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I have never heard of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, that draws 100,000 people. I mean, trouble we have is, of course, because you couldn't see them, they'd be in the fog.
Yeah.
It was in the summer, because we, you know, that's when it's typically thick. Well, that's so a good thing to check into.
But if you have a performance, that might be, of course, our weather on the beach isn't quite the same either.
No, and that's what I'm saying, is that it would take a lot of organizing to do either a fly-in or even looking at getting an air show or stuff like that. I mean, there are probably organizations out there that would come in and help us do that and maybe take most of the burden, but or even getting somebody who is interested in hosting an air show just to lend them our field. Well, not lend them our field, but have them use our field would be another option.
You might get away with maybe contact the EAA chapter at 92 over in Independence and see if they maybe want to, if we hosted an open house and somehow had a lot of cars available for them to drive to town and they leave their planes out there and we invite the public out and something along those lines.
Yeah, you could coordinate with 292. I mean, having a fly-in is an easy thing, relatively.
Easier, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got, they only use it once a year, it seems, but they've got the griddles for doing pancake breakfasts. And I mean, you could have a scheduled event like that and find volunteers from 292 as well as the equipment. Back in Virginia, we had a trailer, which you'd open the side of, and it was a big griddle. And on the back, you stored all the chairs. And again, they use it once a year, and they store it somewhere. So these things are around. The challenge was finding the bodies. to get it going. But with enough warning, we always had enough volunteers to show up and do it, and it was an event, and people knew about it.
I could get you the checklist. We used to put on what we called it, an air festival.
Okay.
Call it what you want. You know, at the airport I was based at in Jersey, and we got a checklist, you know, because every year we call the same people, because, like, we had a big Air Guard unit. We get them to bring over stuff.
Sure.
We had the Coast Guard come over, of course, you know, just like here, and they make a rescue right there on the ramp, you know, kind of thing. But we had this whole checklist of people we call and people we
get. You could do Young Eagles event, too.
Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. So we can get you the checklist and things. Of course, different group. But same. And the other thing is, you know, we always had old cars. All the antique car guys like to show up.
They'll come.
Yeah.
What day is that Sea Fest? Remember?
I don't know.
Is that early in the year? It's earlier.
The Hatfield one?
Hatfield one, yeah.
I think it's later in the year.
At this time.
It's like a September or something.
Yeah, I was going to say,
they're probably
going to
do it.
They got a grant fund for last year.
Yeah, they're probably going to do it again. And then, you know, it's packed with kids, and that's, is it a one-day deal?
Mm-hmm. Last year it was.
Yeah. 2 years ago there was two, and it was filled both days, but they only did it 1 year. And that may be an opportunity. And then a lot of people were from out of town that came, so maybe they're looking for something else to do. Mm-hmm. Get them to stay overnight, you know, a little extra.
The idea about doing the flying over the beach is going to attract a lot of people, because they won't worry about not being able to get it, to see it.
Right.
And plus you've just knocked a lot of liability.
Right. I mean, getting a real air show is a lot more challenging, but you can still have fly.
You need to get a professional air show coordinator if you're going to put on a flying air show, because you got to book all these acts a year in advance, the big ones. And especially working with the military, see, like Atlantic City gets the Blue Angels and all, you know, that kind of stuff, which you don't just call them up and say, hey, oh, by the way.
Well, they're up in Hillsboro, they can just come down here and fly by real quick.
Fly by.
You might get a fly by.
Yeah. Well, you can get an F-15, perhaps. See, what they do is, like, the Guard Squadron up at Portland can schedule a training mission in one of the ITAs off the coast, and on their way to training, they just make a little pass down the beach, you know, that kind of stuff.
I think that's what they did with the F-22 at Oshkosh, because they didn't land, but they came and did the, you know, hang-in-the-air maneuvers and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's ways to do it, but I mean, it is a lot of work, but it's something to look toward, like I say.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. You probably want to think a year from now, you know, post-summer, this is a decent weather time. There's a small window in there, but when you could think there's not going to be the fog, and you still have people who are out flying.
So one of the keys is to not be in conflict with another big event.
That's right.
And the calendar needs to be checked
Right
extensively. Mm-hmm. Coordinate with the city.
So after Labor Day, the aviation calendar kind of drops off. And they did have a Wheels and Wings event down in Florence, but it was that day that was like 200-foot ceiling. Yeah. I went up, but I came back.
The year before I was there, and it was nice, you know, so you never know. That's the trouble with here.
Is there somebody from the Pilots Association that would want to take the lead on this? I mean, that would probably be the best way to do it, because these two guys are... That's it right there. Yeah. They're busy doing that.
We may want to consider maybe postponing, because we're going to be ripping up a runway July 1st.
Next year. July 1st. How long?
October 31st, and the final close date is sometime mid-December.
We'll be closed for 3 months?
No, just the one runway.
Just the one runway.
There'll be a few days, and then we'll...
There'll be a few days where they're redoing the middle part, but yeah. So...
Well, it's now's the time to start thinking about it.
Right, getting stuff coordinated is good, and that way it's easier.
I think you start out with, like, fly-in. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't try to put on the world's largest air show.
No, it's something small.
It may be a way also to show off the new work that's been done. You know, get the community involved when the project's complete. Hey, here's the new runway, and, you know.
Yeah.
Or have
the runway closed and everybody gets to drive down at once.
Yeah. Once?
People like to do that.
Well, you get all the old cars.
Walk it.
Right. Yeah.
How fast can I drive down?
Yeah. Well, you got them. It's about a mile long.
So. I'll drive down it as fast as I can.
However fast you can stop.
Yeah, the end, we're going to go too far.
Okay.
And then, And if you guys want to talk about any of that, I do have the plans here, kind of what they're doing for the sewer stuff or the drain pipe. And the other thing that I found was interesting that I came across is Jeff Berlite was talking about last time getting solar panels, and right here is an article where the FAA funded green projects. Mm. So that might be something to look into. Anyways,
a lead compliant airport.
Yeah, because one of the there was a slideshow that I went through that the FAA put on, and they were talking about making money for the airport. And one of the things that is a moneymaker for the airport, or for some airports, are these solar panels or green energies, because you know now would be the time to try to look and see. If
well, let me explain to you what I told Lance. I think what it is. Here's a picture of the solar panels are all out in areas that we wouldn't normally use, or you could have land that would be available. And what it does is allows the participants in the town that don't want to put a solar panel on each house to buy into a panel out there, and they get the credit for it, even though it's not on their house.
Oh.
So that help. That's a tax deal, and you're using the land up, and then it goes into, you know, it's all basically done by some big company, but they're cost effective because they're all doing it in one location instead of several little houses all over town. And that's
so you have to get the PUD to buy into it.
Power
back to
they're kind of required to do it, but so you would need to find maybe the. What department is doing this, you know, most likely the state or federal level, and the
PUDs. So what the airport's doing is furnishing land.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you get some benefit. I mean, you get to suck off for your leasing, you know, using that space up. First, you're making everything look good, but you might be able to say, well, you guys got to give us credit here for our electricity, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. You might do that.
Yeah, and so there's a way that I can buy one. So $1,000 or whatever it costs, uh-huh. and I'd get some kind of credit that would make it worth my while to
use it. Mm-hmm. Right.
How does the city
get a line to my hangar?
That might be another option is you guys just put it on your roof in your hangar.
Yeah.
No, but that's the guy to, you know, that really, because what you're doing is you know, the trouble with airports is they waste a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most aviation guys don't like have people like me say that, but they do, because all the protected space, and yet that's something you can put on that space.
You wouldn't have to lower it either.
What's interesting that FAA would actually support funding it, mm-hmm. since it's not an aviation use of the property. But
but it's an obstacle. They've been fetish.
Yeah. Well, they have to be so far off certain surfaces, but they're basically ground levels.
Yeah.
As opposed to another revenue source is cell towers, but they're not really friendly with airplanes.
And you only put so many of them in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I think that's a great idea. I like Seuss.
Get so something. So the city can get in the business.
Hang on. Maybe find out the source where they found.
Where they found their funding.
Yeah, usually there's one guru that's in charge. And,
you know, usually. Yeah. But green energy, I just thought that was kind of interesting. That we had kind of discussed that a little bit after the meeting. But there it sits, and it was even better because the FAA was funding it.
Well, there's an additional benefit to that is if you make yourself a green, you know, all of a sudden now your eyes are on your airport, and people will come start flying in to look at this thing, and you'll be on the map again, and you know, it's going to be.
The whole concept is the city can hopefully make a little bit of money off of a bunch of land that they absolutely have no other use for.
Mm-hmm.
That probably is the least fee, a little minimal, but I mean, it's better than no money at all.
Yeah. Unless you start charging the
FAA would require a certain minimum lease.
Probably, but they're funding it, so I guess that the generation of electricity probably maybe it's included in, you know, payback.
Well, it's just say for the record, we want to pursue it, you know, and find out more about it.
Okay.
We can solve it here today, obviously.
No,
can't do it today. But we can at least start looking into it a little bit. Because that might be good. The other thing that they said is there in the slideshow that I was going through was that one of the other big money generators was if your airport is in prime real estate, basically. And ours is, and how we develop that is something that we'd probably have to look into. Right there on the 101 would be considered prime, but most airports now are getting money more so out of you know, like green energy projects like this, land leases and leasing of their prime real estate, because people aren't flying as much lately. So,
and pilots don't spend money.
Well, they do, but
well, they do. But it's one of the studies is that, right, you know, if you're looking to generate income at your airport, yeah, don't look at pilots as per se, because they drink coffee and use the bathroom. And
no, you want the people they fly in to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we want to keep
the people in the back seat in that jet. Yeah, is what we're cutting along.
You gotcha.
Yeah. So, but so that I found that's done. Sure. I don't know. Anybody want to talk about the drainage, what they're doing? Do you want me to go over that?
Well, yeah. Why don't you have them bring a lot of this water down to a big pipe and then put an impeller in there and make a generator out of that?
I like it. That would be a green project.
Yeah,
that way we wouldn't need, solar panels.
When the sun shines, we have lights on when it rains.
Not a bad idea. Yeah.
All right,
if
so
they
sand.
You get a lot more.
Yeah, actually, you can. I mean, you both prop is what it is.
Yeah. So we aren't expecting any more closures of the runway at this point. But this is what we're looking at here.
When did you say it was going to start? Start closures next year.
July, but every. Every color on there, there's six different systems. Right now they're working on the yellow, and they've been working on the yellow since Monday. And they're hopefully going to get the yellow done today and start working on the orange part. And the orange part, they might finish up Friday, maybe. And we'll escort them so that we don't have to have any more runway closures. Because once they get to the purple part and the green part, that's more so out of the, you know, they'll have to be escorted, but it's off the safety area. Mm-hmm. They don't have to lift any of the man covers that are actually on the runway. They can just come in straight, and that's more solid ground. So we'll escort them tomorrow, and then the next crew will be out Monday and just escorting. But everything flows basically from the out to the in. And they've actually found a few of the abandoned lines. They found some lines out there that we had no idea it was even there. And even our map here, there's a line in the yellow that isn't even there. So but at least we're going to have an accurate map of the drainage system, a good look at inside the drainage system, and it'll all be nice and cleaned. And then they'll determine, of course, during the engineering part, what they need to upgrade, what they need to fix, stuff like that.
What's the big red hash marks right across?
The big red hash marks are
those
the,
from here to here.
Yeah. Those are those 48-inch pipes that are at the that go underneath the airport, funneling. Simpson Creek.
Yeah, the old creek that went under.
That goes through there. Everything gets funneled into those pipes.
Does it?
And across is what they're finding so far.
No.
So. But that's what they're looking at. There's a possibility when they're doing Echo, we may have to close a portion of taxiway Echo because obviously the jet or truck, and if it starts raining, they're not going to be able to drive out on the grass. So, but that's what we're working with today and Monday, and I guess the next 3 weeks. I was just informed the other day by the engineers. So. We're planning on not having any more runway closures, maybe a couple taxiway closures, but so that's that. Any questions or thoughts or commenting or anything for me?
Like on the thinking about back taxi if they have to go up taxiways are closed.
Yeah, we can issue one of the things that we can do is issue a notum stating you'll have to have a back taxi. And also, we have been able to issue NOTAMs on the AWOS as well.
Oh, verbal. You figure out how to do that?
Yeah,
we called the NOTAMs. We called the ISLA, and we've got, we actually can go in, and then I just leave a notice to airmen, runway 16. And then we did, in the remarks section, For example, we had Taxiway Charlie closed, so there was no way to get off of runway 2. So if you're coming in on runway 2, you had to go all the way to the end and then back taxi to get all the way off. And so we put that into the NOTAMs when Lance and I issued those. So.
Yeah. Of course, the only thing you remember, you're now setting an expectation. Anytime you got a NOTAM, people can expect it to be on the AWAS.
Well, no, we're setting NOTAMs on everything. Like if we have
to. I know, but I'm just saying it's really nice. But
well, the only reason I did that is because when somebody is, if they get the AWAS and they hear the wind is coming straight down runway, 16, there, if you don't have a comment on there and they haven't checked their NOTAMs, it just tells them this is the favorite runway.
It's a great system. It's a lot better than the NOTAM system per se.
Sure.
But, say you're setting an expectation and a year from now.
A year from now, if we're closing runways,
you've got to keep after it.
Yeah. It's easy to do. We learned both of us.
Can you add the words?
We both went. We got walked through how to do it. I mean, it's literally picking up a phone, pushing the button. Good. It doesn't matter where in the loop. You just go ahead and leave your recording, and then it'll automatically stick it at the end of the loop. Mm-hmm. And then to erase it, you go in, click the button 2 times, and you can erase it.
You have to physically go out the AWAS, or you can do that?
No, do it in the FedEx building, where the main system is.
You can't call in.
You have to go over.
That's how you could do on a daily basis if you had to.
Yes.
We've been doing it on a daily basis. This first 3 days, the runways are closed. We did it in the morning when we closed it, and then the last thing we did as we shut the doors was go over and cancel the thing. Yeah. Even though we had NOTAM set until 6 p.m., we actually finished a half hour early, so we went ahead and got the X's off and reopened the runways.
It's been a good learning process for both of us.
Yeah. So. Setting X's in 50 mile an hour winds on Monday was a challenge. And Lance came in on his
day
off.
There were Y's and T's.
Let me tell you, we had 12 sandbags, literally 12 sandbags. And if you walked away from it, the wind lifted up and moved all down the runway. And we literally would have to lay on it while one person ran and got sandbags and surrounded him with sandbags. And then you could get up and kind of crawl down.
Who had the YouTube video for that?
Oh, it was okay. And the rain was coming down sideways.
We didn't have enough funding to have another employee to come in.
But we had fun. It was, at the end of the day, both of us, we took off our foul weather gear, and it's like we didn't have any on.
It didn't even help. We got it done. Oh, and Hazen geese.
And we had approximately 300 geese land right at the end of runway 16.
Well, it was closed. Did you write him up?
No. It was actually, we hadn't closed. The 220 was closed. On Sunday.
They're legal.
It took a full day.
They're international geese. They're Canadians.
So. They were several boxes of shotgun shells. They divided in half. 150 went to the north end and 150 went to the south end, and it was like herding dachshunds trying to get them out of there. And the winds were blowing 50 miles an hour, and they basically said, go ahead and shoot at us.
We're not going anywhere.
Right. And finally we got them to move outside the fence to a field on the other side, and once they all went there, then they started attracting everything else around them to go on the other side of the fence, and we called it good. We had the X's to deploy, and they had finally left.
I don't know how many barricades we had to reset that day, too. So all the barricading.
Once we got them to leave the field, we called it good and didn't haze them anymore and let them sit.
And a 40-pound bag of dry sand is 80 pounds.
Is that about it for you?
Yeah, I think that's all I have to report. Anything else?
Questions?
No? All right.
FBO. Let's see. A couple things to report. Number one, you guys may have heard we had Chinook Winds has started to use the FBO to bring celebrities in. We discussed it a little bit. We talked to Jim about it, and the city Chamber of Commerce got involved. But we were approached by part of the hotel group because they're putting together a stay-and-play package for Newport for next year. And they approached us and asked if we would be willing to give, you know, participate in it. And so I said we'd have to discuss it and get permission, but maybe we could give away a day of car rental or something like that, because we are, that's the next thing I'll bring up, we are going to be having cars out at the field. So for $39,
That's really a decision management and council and stuff.
So absolutely.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves on this one.
But anyway, so we were just talking on the stay and play package. We were also contacted by a company out of Tucson that's interested in bringing an EMB 170. We thought it was 30 passengers, but we looked it up and it's 70 passengers.
Yeah.
So like we are
like a small 737.
Yes, yeah. And he's able to get in and out of Newport. We're doing some research right now to find out what our category is on the airport and what they are Part 91, so it's not a scheduled air service, so they can get in under different rules than.
Is this the same guy that flies for flies into Hillsboro for Intel up there?
I don't know.
We just got the call.
We're doing some groundwork and making sure. We told Jim we're going to do some groundwork, make sure it's a legitimate company. But he called and was wondering if we could had a set of stairs at the Newport Airport, because this particular aircraft they have does not have a set of air stairs.
Wow.
So I said, well, you know, this is something we would like to have here, and if it came down to a set of stairs, we'll hunt to down some stairs.
Which sound, Clay Lacy does have it, but it would probably be better to see if we could just rent them. If this, because you don't want to buy them, and then all of a sudden, this is our last flight on the second flight type thing, because it doesn't
Is this
take
a
off,
charter, so. Or what's he?
No, it's not a charter, so to speak. They are, they're doing a... these are not casino-run charters, is what they explained to me. These are people that are coming up. They have one-week stays. They come in on a Friday, and then the plane comes back again on the following Friday, takes these folks out, brings another load in. And they have golf packages, hotel package, a whale watch.
It's a tourist thing to bring people in.
It is. Okay. And so, but that's one of the things that happened in the FBO this week. So
where will they be flying from?
Tucson.
From Tucson.
Tucson, direct Newport.
I can imagine there'd be some reverse business if they thought
about it. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, that's why we're doing the legwork on it. We would let, obviously, Jim handle all of the details on the contracting and any of the negotiating and stuff like that.
We will pursue it and just get some research done and find out about the company, and we'll report that back to you guys. Make sure that they're just legit and this is a real deal. But it sounded promising, and so we thought it was worth looking into.
Too bad it wouldn't be going into Las Vegas or Phoenix. Connect to a hub, you know.
Maybe we
could
bring that up.
Okay, yeah.
Second item, the FAA letter that Ralph helped us draft went out over a week ago down to the Coast Guard Commandant in North Bend. We received that back yesterday with his signature. So we we're just lacking two local signatures, both of them from the chief pilots of FedEx and AmeriFlight. And then once they sign off, this letter it looks really nice. It came out really good. And the signature page on the back has a lot of prominent folks all listed. So when this thing, when all of them get together on this, then we'll be forwarding on to Catherine, the lady in charge of the FAA.
Northwest Mountain Regional Director.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Did they have the mayor's name on it?
We have a space for it, as well as your name. We'd like to have as many people as possible in the city and stuff like that.
Basically, you get a remote communications outlet direct to the center.
So you'd be able to get a hold of Seattle Center from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that did get completed. So we're gonna move on with that. But just wanted to fill you guys in that it did come back, and it does have the Coast Guard Commandant from North Bend, which is one of the big ones we were looking for. Next thing, car rental agreement. Peggy got the draft to me last week, and Jim signed it. We've taken it to Toby Murray, and Toby Murray has signed the contract, and it has been finalized. I went and they took delivery of four new vehicles at Toby Murray for the airport. I went and looked at them. And you guys probably know this, but Toby Murray is one of the only Nissan Toyota dealers in the United States. So one of the things they provided us was one Nissan Altima, one or two Priuses, and one Camry.
Wow.
And it's they're sitting there, they're beautiful, they're brand new. So
is it unlimited miles?
Unlimited miles, $39 a day. And we've backed off a little bit on taking this citywide. We don't want this thing to turn into citizens going down there renting the cars and then pilots having nothing available. And so we're going to try to refer people that aren't pilots just down to the dealership itself. They still have their own separate car rental business.
That's good.
And so that's what we've tried to do with that. We'll take you guys' input, but we really would like to try to limit this to just general public renting the cars and then just not have them available, because we've worked really hard to get them there for the pilots. We spoke to the sign people. We do have the four slots already cordoned off down there. Public Works came out, took a look. We're talking about putting some more stripes in between where the FedEx last parking space is and where our last parking space. Give us a few more slots, and then we're probably going to take the last four spots up against the fence, and the sign folks are making us some little signs, and it'll be rental car return.
The ones closest to the
Little shack out
to
there.
The shack, yeah.
That leaves the front area completely for all the passengers unloading, that kind of stuff. But it gives them a place for their cars to sit all the time with a little sign that says Toby Murray rental return.
The shack is completed. I'm just waiting on the sign so that after our shack is done. I'm just waiting for them to from the road crew, they're making me the sign for it on both sides, so he's developing something nice, and then when he's up, hopefully putting the striping the parking lot, he'll put the sign up. But the shack is done for the after hours.
Well, and then that's about it for the extra stuff. We've both tag teamed this project out there with this construction, so we've both been pretty busy doing that. Everything else has been good. We've had a few decreases in fuel for the first time in a long time.
Prices, you mean?
Prices have started to calm despite what's going on in California. We're seeing steady decreases each week. Our fuel supply is not yet ready to purchase fuel, but I'm starting to look at it every day now, just checking it, and we'll keep watching the levels.
We got to double our fuel prices, right?
So far, and one thing we've been able to do, since we did purchase all this fuel before any of these increases took place earlier in the summer, when everybody else's fuels went up and down, ours just remained steady. So it's actually, I think, helped us a little bit. We're getting a lot of activity and stuff like that. So that's about it for the any questions on anything in the FBO.
Should be good, dude. And it looks like Ted's not going to show.
Well, I think they pretty much covered the project. That is the big project right now.
Yeah.
Although we're also doing the lights or signage at Taxiway 2. Is that correct?
Yeah, AIP 19 is the approach end there of 2. And what they're doing, many, many years ago, the FAA said, what you have is great. And now it's not right. So they're funding to repaint it. So they're taking out all of the hold from the threshold of 2 back on Echo to the end of Echo. They're not going up. But they're getting rid of all those hold shorts. And then right about where FedEx...
Hold shorts going on to Echo. Mm-hmm. Don't make any sense.
Don't make any sense. Yeah. They're getting rid of all of those. They're taking out all the hold short signs. And they're putting a 2 approach hold in, which... kind of draw it here real quick on you got runway 2, and then you have FedEx here, and then the the apron wraps around. They're gonna do it where it's kind of like a box like that, and this is gonna be the new 2 approach. So if you're coming off the apron, there'll be an approach, And then, of course, the hold short will be here. And then, so you'll do the approach and then go to the...
And all those lines down by the hangars will all be...
Those are all going to be taken off. All of those signs are going to be taken off. So there won't be any hold shorts on the apron, long-term parking, Coast Guard, and then right where it bends at 90 to go up. That'll all be gone, and they'll put that...
When are they going to start doing that?
I was under the impression that it was supposed to be this month as well, but I don't know if they're going to do that at the same time. They're working on the runway rehab. I haven't heard yet.
It's a different contractor.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the only thing that I don't know is when it's going to happen, but that is what they're doing. So
We can check on the time.
Yeah,
start.
So we're not moving the threshold to 2 or anything like that. They're just, or you guys aren't losing runway 2 at all. They're just moving, making the approach. So that should bring it up to code until they decide, no, that's wrong, and they want hold shorts along everything again. So, yeah.
They're leading the show, so.
Right, yeah, and we just nod our head and say yes and go along with it.
Jim?
I don't have anything to report. Other than Terry and Lance are doing a great job out there. And Chuck. I mean, you know, Chuck's not here, but he's doing a great job.
He's
so
a
I
big
think
part
that
of our team.
The three of them are doing a fantastic job.
It's wonderful to hear how everything's going smoothly, and it's a tribute to everybody that's involved from the city all the way to the airport. And this community is starting to really take hold and support the airport, and that's good to see.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody wants to work for.
Yeah, so. It's a real tribute to you guys out at the airport getting it known and going to the right avenues to get everything accomplished. So, committee members?
Well, since it hasn't been controversial enough, business licenses. I know this has come up recently because several people have talked to me about it at the airport, and you know who should have a business license and who shouldn't. And what I'm concerned about, and I've talked to Lance a little bit about it, and I've talked to others about it. I'm concerned with how we implement this to make sure that it's fair and in the best interest of the city. And I know it started about one individual, but it's a lot bigger than that. And a couple of things to consider. It's easy to say, and I know what the code says, you know, if you do business for more than 20 hours in the city, you got to have a business license. But there's also an exemption for people who deliver goods within the city. And few other things. But as far as the airport goes, consider a couple things. Flight instruction, for example. And I'll use Hillsborough Aviation as an example because they come into our airport all the time. They bought, I don't know how many $1,000 worth of fuel in a given year. Hillsborough Aviation provides flight instruction. They're based in Hillsborough, but they use Newport. They spend more than 20 hours a year in Newport. Mm-hmm. And they buy several thousand gallons worth of fuel. If we were to stick them with a business license, and I grant you the $95 or whatever it is isn't a big deal, my guess is they just wouldn't pay it and they would buy all that gas somewhere else.
Yeah, they pull chocks and leave.
So do we want to stick Hillsborough Aviation with a business license? Well, at least based on what I said, no. But if we don't stick them with a business license, then we're back to the local guy or guys or businesses. It's not fair to them to stick them with a business license. And I'm not saying which is right or which is wrong. Another example, we talked about the casinos and flying people into casinos. Doug's Charter Service out of Burbank, California, flies up their Learjet for the weekend to bring somebody to perform at a casino. They fly in, they park the airplane, it sits there for a couple days, and then they fly home. Well, they just did business for more than 20 hours in Newport in a given year. Are we going to charge them? In the meantime, they bought $5,000 worth of jet fuel. Are we going to try to hit them up with a business license?
It should ought to be balanced by your revenue. I mean,
FedEx and Ameriflight.
As you know, FedEx and UPS do business out of the airport, but they do business on a broader scale than what's exempted in the code. So they should be charged a business license because they're using it as a transfer station they're delivering outside of Newport. On the other hand, we also have their operators, which is Ameriflight and Empire, two separate companies who are charter operators for those two guys. Mm-hmm. So they should be hit with a business license. You see where I'm going? It's nothing's right or wrong, but there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. We have had people come in, work on a guy's airplane for a week, and then leave and never come back again, things like that. All I'm saying is I think we need to take another look at how we license things, particularly in the aviation world out there, you know, and make sure it's equitable. And that might take a revision to the ordinance to do that.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
And so we need and to just, get to the legal people involved.
Well,
manager.
And all I can say is the business license was a 2-year ordeal with task force
to create
task force
placement.
Task force committees, and hopefully we will not reopen because there are the same examples.
Oh, I know.
You
probably have
nothing
a thousand
to do with airports.
Of them.
We can bring in plastic bags.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But basically, $95 should not make or break.
You're right.
Any business.
I agree with that statement in general, but like I say, and I think Hillsborough Aviation probably be the prime example. I would almost be willing to bet they just will go somewhere else.
Or I mean, but you've got that usage basis, so you know we wouldn't want to bother pilots who come in here either with tie down fees. And generally, the rule is if you come and you buy fuel, you know, no issue because you're bringing revenue in. And so the same thing with Hillsborough. That might be part of what you put into the revision, although it would take a while, would be to say, you know, if you do purchase services at the field, such as A, B, and C,
but then that would have to apply to local-based people as well.
Well,
I mean, that's why
you could look at it that way, too, but you also could say that, you know, actually the airport could buy probably a license like a farmer's market does, and it covers everybody that comes in some regards, but, I don't know. It's you're doing actually. You can look at the airport as doing a business like Fred Meyer, and I don't charge the customers coming in there doing stuff either. So,
the other thing to keep in mind, and this is for the airport as a whole, if the community really wants someone to come in and operate an FBO, that operator wants to feel that it can operate competitively with other businesses, and if they have to have a business license, get insurance, and all that, and they want to invest money to do all that, they don't want to have to compete against somebody who, you know, works in a car and comes in, brings all his tools out, and doesn't have to pay all these other costs. So at some point when we start getting serious about an FBO, you know, someone coming in, one of the things they're going to look at is, can I compete with other people who are also doing on it? And that's a tough one.
Well, I've run into that at every airport I've been involved with.
Yeah.
I mean, what you bring up is a very big issue. Mm-hmm. It's and then, you know, if I tried to get an FBO here at Newport, I'd like to have exclusive rights to all maintenance and fuel sales and flight instruction and all that. And the only thing bounding that, you know, the FAA grants is you have to provide equal access to everyone. Doesn't mean you have to do it for free. Doesn't mean you can't do it without restriction, as long as you put the same restrictions and fees on everyone.
Right.
But then, on the other hand, I say, well, it's a free market economy. Why would we run the airport any different than we run anybody else? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's legal to run a car repair service out of the back of your car, you know, in town here, for example. You might have to buy a business license, but, you know, other than that, I get my tools and I can go around and fix your car, and I'm running competition with the, you know, the car dealers and then the people in town. And why should we treat, you know, people any different at the airport? Now, right now, today, that isn't an issue because we don't have anybody, but as Jim said, one of these days we might, and we should stand ready to address that issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we have an issue that's out here anyway, you know, with this business license thing, and if I'm going to, you know, get stuck with a business license for giving flight instruction at Newport, then I'm going to say, well, okay, that's fine, but do it to everybody. Don't just do it for me. or to me, I should say.
Well, also, it would depend on where their base of operations. I mean, I can't see somebody from Hillsboro taking off, coming in, getting some gas, going and getting some lunch, and then we say that you're operating business. I mean, you just have no land there. I
know they are.
I know it's a real fine line. I know where you're going.
They pay Corvallis and Salem and everywhere.
Well, no, of course they don't.
No, it should be your primary base of operations.
Well, we got guys that got no base of operations.
So what's the benefit or what's the issue about a license? Is it liability? Is it income?
No, and that's another thing, just for clarification.
If it's 80 cases a year, it's not worth it.
As far as I understand, there is no liability requirement on a standard business license.
No, it's simply as a way to,
right.
It says in our code, it raises revenue
right.
For the city.
Yeah. And that's the honest answer.
Type
the reason I bring that up, some people have tried to tie those things together.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, people have discussed, when Gene Cozy was here, that was discussed, you know, putting insurance liability requirements on certain people or operations, but that hasn't happened. It's not. It's just $95. That's what it is. But all I'm saying is, we really got to look at who we're doing it to, and make sure we're doing it equitably. Because I bet you not everybody out there's got one. You know, like Precision Engineering, do they have one to do the work on the airport?
Yeah, they have to have one as a contractor.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they should.
Well, like FedEx has a separate contract for using the airport and its facilities.
Something that I think Ted must check.
And so they're basically under contract, which is a business license. It may not be a business license. It's recognized by the city as far as being part of the city.
And we're talking about Newport business license.
Yeah.
Not a general contractor's license.
But they're doing business, and they have an agreement with the city to use facilities, right?
Who is that?
FedEx.
Yes, so FedEx should have a business license in Newport.
They usually have a business license.
That's actually, too, yeah. We should probably check on that.
But there's FedEx and Empire, who is their, you know, Empire operates their airplanes. It's not FedEx. FedEx doesn't use their own airplanes in Newport.
It's all Empire Airlines.
Yeah, but he's,
yeah. Actually, both of them.
It's kind of an employee.
Ameriflight and Empire.
Yeah, but the code doesn't exempt subcontractors.
No, but. If you guys are going to do that, you should look at the 5090-F, which I have a copy. But that is rulemaking and how to, and why we do that for minimum standards. How to, you know, say who is doing business, who is not doing business. I know that the state of Oregon owns 19 airports in the state of Oregon, and every single one of their airports has the exact same minimum standards that everybody has to adhere to, which, you know, it says who can, you know, and there are airports that have taken federal funding as well and federal granting as well. So I think once it becomes a bigger issue down the road, going in and saying, here's what the state has, here's what the FAA has, and just saying, you know, this is the reason why the FAA came up with the 5090F is because of this exact reason right here. And that might be something you might want to we may want to look into.
Yeah, I'm just trying to point out that
you do have a very valid point. It is very gray, and it is something that we need to look into further before we, you know, I guess penalize or chastise, whatever you want to call it, anybody up at the airport, or any businesses that want to operate up at the airport, or anything like that. So,
I'm going to go put a whole bunch of solar cells in.
Then we can call you a business.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to lay that on the table and say, you know, let's think this through. And
it
like
is.
I say it may require, I know you don't want to open a can of worms by revising the ordinance, but, you know, that may be the
way. But, yeah, that, like,
you know, I got to appreciate.
Not this year.
Not this year. Not this year.
Jeff remembers it.
Appreciate the value of not having such an issue, you know, because you're a duty-free zone, so to speak, and then you can encourage businesses. Mm-hmm. If that's the issue, you'll get more business and revenue out of it by visiting. So I don't think it's worth the fuss.
I agree.
I mean, I know other places where they're municipal-owned airports, and they will levy a personal property tax on aircraft that are based there.
Mm. Your former state does that, I certainly
And you'll scare folks away real bad. Well, certain airports, like Stafford Airport, did that for a while. They built this brand-new airport, and that was how they were going to rationalize it. They couldn't get anyone to go there.
Go there, yeah.
Because you're talking about, you know, thousands of dollars a year of fee on these airplanes. So.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
No.
They did it with the luxury yachts and everything. It didn't work. Killed the business.
But I mean, like, and I realize our business licenses are $95, and $95 isn't the end of the world. But on the other hand, we still have to be fair. The principle is more important sometimes than the amount.
Right. Yep.
I have one thing. I don't know if you guys are working on it or not. We're trying to get the idea from the site, or even from the FBO, to the end of the runway. Where Emory with Will Emory's property would pick up, and then also, which I also, I suppose this map here is probably to scale, but I don't know how many feet it is to the end there, and that would be nice to know to lay out pipes for sewer and water. There's so much a foot to put that stuff in, and I maybe someday we could, somebody could go by and just scale that, and we would know. To get a rough estimate on what it would.
Are doing. The geotech guy, not the geotech. Their survey crew is out there, and they are actually going to be building us a 3D map of the grounds.
Are they giving you a GIS database for the airport?
Yeah, it should be measured out. Yeah. Per, you know, the height of everything and what the width
at least
is,
but
they're going to be
topography. You mean,
or topography.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a GIS system, and then you can just go on the computer and go put two points on it. It tells you how long it is.
Yeah, right. Nice and they're out there working on that. The guy has this big giant stick. It stops. Mm. Goes to this next point. It stops. While the survey guy is over there looking through this thing going. So, but yeah, that is one thing that they're doing. I don't. I from Jeff, just what point are you just talking about from here
to basically somewhere, you know, wherever we can tie it into? But yeah, mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know where to tie it in. If
well, at least to the end of our property,
right?
So maybe at the ARF station, use that as your.
Well, you'd have if, as long as you know each little point, you can just figure out what portion.
Yeah, well, we do need to eventually work on some shuttle-ready projects, just kind of have them in the...
Yeah, you know, you guys came up with $9 million here all out of the blue, and they'd be able to go for this, but I mean, there's other things that happen.
That was Gene, yeah. He came up, he got that.
I mean, Obama showed us the importance of it. First of all, we learned the term shovel-ready, and then he showed us the importance. I think I told you before that... The airport is based at New Jersey. Got the whole airport repaved and all the drainage redone
because
they had everything laid out in a book like that. And 2 weeks after that program went into effect, we got something like $9 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's everything that we're working on. I guess Ralph, you have a very valid point.
Of course, if Romney gets elected, we'll come up with a new term, I guess.
Yeah, silly airplane.
Will and Bonnie are two people that are very much interested in.
Well, they have, yeah. Well, I would hope the rest of the city is interested in getting a industrial section ready to go and be available for sale. And then to do that, they need to generally put in the infrastructure for those people to buy lots, because no one can individually buy a lot and hope the rest of it.
So an industrial park off the end.
Yeah, it's all industrial. And it's basically cleared, and there's a street pretty much up the road, so it isn't going to take, I mean, it's pretty straight where it's going to go.
Yeah, it's good planning.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing special.
Jim, you were happy?
Yes. I think the airport's doing good. Thanks for this committee for giving us, you know, some ideas to check into, and these guys are doing it. So, you know, I'm very pleased with how things are running right now. So, thanks to everybody for working together. That's how it actually gets done when we're all trying to do the same thing.
It looks like we don't have any member from the community, so call it good.